studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Happy Saturday to you. This is Robin trying to get Cliff in. Thanks to
hello there.
You are there. All right.
I was here before. You just cut me off and put me out. It's been an interesting time.
Yes. Skype has been, well, I don't know. They're to put in a word, they're pissing me off. every time you log into Skype, for example, they want to do an update, and most of the time you can just say, no, not now, I'm busy. A couple weeks ago, Skype wanted to do an update, and it just decided, okay, you've been refusing my update, I'm cutting you off.
Yeah.
So
it did that to me, too, at just last week, I think it was. I went to it, and it did the update to hell with me.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, fine. I just looked at it, and I said, you know, I've been snubbed by better programs than you.
I was worrying about how long it was going to take me, but today it didn't do it. It said, okay, you did it last week, I guess, and so it accepted me. But I didn't, you know, I got here late today. This is my late day, and I wasn't prepared for it to do anything. Anyway, it was good. It's been good to me today.
That's good, as I'm trying to get things organized here.
Nothing else is good to me, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, I know what I'm doing. My studio mic is trying to creep and raise up and trying to get in my face, literally. Anyways, how you doing, folks? Give us a call right now because we are live, which is
646-721-9887.
Yes, that number once again is
646-721-9887. How easy to remember is that?
It's very easy. In fact, I think, you know, let me pick up. Okay. Because I know sometimes people get very, very confused, especially what's going on in the world right now. So we have to really spell it out. So let me grab my phone here.
Well, what I'll do is you send me a note, and I'll send you a pen to mark it on your refrigerator.
There you go. Along with $2 to P.O. Box.
No, I don't even need money. I'll send you a free pen. I got marking pens laying around here, Sharpies, that, you know, permanent pens. Of course, I don't know if you want it permanently marked on your refrigerator, but...
Yes.
Yeah.
But don't blame us if you do it.
Well, you can't blame us if you do it.
Yeah, just don't expect us to buy another refrigerator because you're stupid enough to mark on your refrigerator with a permanent marker.
Well, you can expect us to buy a new refrigerator. You're going to be sorely disappointed, but
yes.
What the heck?
And speaking of sorely disappointed, give us a call, 646-721-9887. Emails go to talk@krbnradio.com. In fact, I'm going to invite people. We don't use it that often, and that's mainly my fault due to time restraints. One of us is retired, and one of us works 45 hours a week, and you can guess which one that is. and it ain't me. I'm not the retired one. Anyways.
No, I'm so retired I was sitting there in a chair asleep when Robin called and told me, hey, this is Saturday.
Yes. But what I want, and the reason I'm going to invite people to comment on Twitter or Facebook, yes, we do have those. I just don't get a chance to update them as much as I should. I'm bad. Today's topic is something that, it roused me up, and today is going to be a really good point-counterpoint because Cliff and I have different views on this, and in fact, at shift change at work, we were talking about this topic, and hardly ever get to the topic, damn it, that some people are just kind of going, well, then why should I care? And what I'm talking about is the recent beheading of, as I'm waiting for a slow computer, James Foley, who's a journalist that got beheaded by ISIS, and ISIS is, that's that Islamic group, and they're claiming that more are to follow. And in the past, we're getting to the point that kind of really roused me and it's got me a little speechless kind of, which is weird. the president, well, you know, maybe I should actually get up there and say something. I am kind of like the president, you know, and I've, even though I spent time talking about the Ferguson case and how racist it is, and I sent my attorney general down there so he can explain how hard it was in his life, and Jesse Jackson and Chal Sharpton and all the others are going that way, but maybe I, you know, this beheading thing might kind of be important. So he broke his vacation for a few minutes from Martha's Vineyard, long enough to put on a jacket and get up there and make a little five-minute speech. And at that point, you know, thank you very much. You know, don't mess with our people. And whose turn is it at the tee? And back to the golf course. And some people have a problem with that. And some don't.
Well, I don't know. I'm sitting here hearing this, and I think it's me, and I've got to figure out how to get off.
Yes.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, the beheading, you know, that there was nothing we could do about it. I mean, there's nothing that the president could do about it. I mean, this is something that happened, and then we found out about it.
Well, yeah, that's not the point. The point is how we are reacting to it.
How are we supposed to react?
Well, for one thing, again, you know, American citizens were attacked, and at least pretend that you have some concern about it. I mean, if somebody's just going to go in and capture our people. I mean, just like this, I can't remember the guy's name that drove into Mexico accidentally. He's still in prison over there, and we're not doing anything to get him out. And all he did was just accidentally drive across the border, and they arrested him, and he's still in prison. You know, and we're not.
Well,
but just like with here, I mean, it's just like. My screen just updated.
I just can't see us doing anything about it. I'm sorry.
Tell them, I mean, okay, come on. Our commander-in-chief, and I use that term loosely, you know, gets up and just says, you know, hey, don't do it again, guys, and goes off and plays golf instead of, you know, acting like he's got some power or cares or whatever and, you know, hey, we got a little crisis going on here. The terrorists are which are growing daily, you know, or have captured and not only tortured, but, you know, beheaded one of our citizens, and we just kind of like, oh, well. And people are saying, well, Mr. President deserves a vacation. He doesn't get enough vacation. You know, the fact he broke away from his golf game to give this announcement that I care, whose turn is it? It's like it's what it says to the world, in my opinion, is we don't care about our citizens.
I just don't see you're jumping to that conclusion. I mean, that doesn't make any sense at all. You know, you're talking about that. You're talking about the person who ran off the road in the wrong place and went into Mexico or whatever, and he's still down there, and they're still holding him and all that sort of thing. And what is he supposed to do? This is an individual who did something that was illegal, that he whether he knew it or not, I mean, you know, that doesn't make any difference. Just as it wouldn't make any difference if you were breaking a law here and you didn't know it, you'd still go to jail just as fast. And it wouldn't, you know, if you did something here and you went to jail because you didn't know what you were doing wrong, it wouldn't be logical for you to expect the president to bail you out.
No, I'm not expecting him to bail him out, but the White House or the administration could make, you know, just a quick little phone call. I mean, hell, they got millions of people crossing into our borders from Mexico, and it'd be really easy to go, hey, you know, one of our guys went over there, you know, he's, you know, how about just
that like... That raises it to an international episode.
Right.
And
exactly.
That's what we don't want to do.
Why?
Why?
Like I said, we have millions of people that are coming over here invading our country, and we're just kind of going, oh, well, you know, they're all seeking, they're all refugees, and we got to welcome them over here, distribute them throughout our country, let them go into schools. That's not an international incident. That's an invasion. And what are we doing about it? We're playing golf.
So we're going to raise it to the level of an invasion and make it a war?
if it comes to that point?
Absolutely not.
I mean, we have people like...
Absolutely not. A war?
We have people,
are you out of your mind?
Maybe. We have people like ISIS who are beheading our people, who have threatened that they, one of their goals is to put the ISIS flag flying at the White House. Our borders are so porous, it would not be any challenge at all for them to come over. In fact, we'd probably help them carry their luggage. We don't take things seriously, especially our security, and we're so much in a bubble wrap society here that when something happens, oh well, just change the channel. What's on tonight? Who's got a new car and the price is right? I care about that more than I care about the security of our citizens and our country.
Well, the first place, our border is probably more protected now than it has been for many years.
Oh,
the south border, I'm talking about. Because we're worried about all these kids coming across the border, and we're watching all these kids come across the border.
Putting out tweets, please don't come over. You're going to go home.
No, the thing is, when they're here, we've got to do something about them, and that brings it to our attention, like it or not. And so, you know, we can't let them just come over and do nothing. I mean, what are they going to do?
We can't distribute them all throughout the United States. I mean, that's ridiculous.
What do you want to do with them?
Send them home.
That's ridiculous. That we are sending them home by the thousands, and that's costing us a huge amount of money because we've got to pay for the airplane. We've got to pay for the transportation.
Because we have such an open border. They're coming over here now. They used to hide from the Border Patrol. Now they're seeking them out. Because they've heard that Obama is working. In fact, he's going to be announcing sometime after Labor Day coming up his plan for amnesty. And so they're coming over here hoping to be over here by the time that announcement happens. And they know that they're doing it's the children, unaccompanied children, who happen to have some adults accompanying them.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't.
But the whole point is that they're trying, it's an orchestrated deal. Their parents are sending these people over here to get the kids over here knowing that the next step is that, we have to, we can't have these kids without their parents. We've got to bring the parents over here now.
Okay, well, look, now, wait a minute. Okay, the thing is, you've got to look at this at the right distance, shall I say, because these kids are coming over here right now, and they're doing it right now. Now, they didn't start today. They didn't start yesterday. They left their country and their home a year ago. And so, if we stop them right now and start sending them back right now, it's going to take a year before they realize this is happening. And so this is not something we can do right away. This is not something we do instantly. The other thing is, what are we supposed to do with them? I mean, this is costing us money to send them back. And it would so no matter what we do to them, it's going to cost us a lot of money. So we may as well make them at home here. And then make it a big thing about going to their country and make it a big thing being in the news and putting it in the news that they're going to get in trouble or they're going to get caught or they're going to get whatever when they come here. It's not an open. And how are you going to close the border? How are you going to do that?
I have an idea. Right now with what's going on in Ferguson, the police are using military-style equipment. I mean, we got more armament probably right now in Ferguson than we do on the border, pretty much. I mean, let's take some of that equipment and let's line the border. If we have to shoot, if we have to point guns at the border and say, you come over here, and get serious. I'm not saying shoot everybody that crosses the line, no. But definitely do not take the people, I'm going to come over, now we're going to ship you to Idaho.
Well, first of all, you'd have to shoot them as they come across the line because they're going to come across the line. They're going to come into the country. They have no place to go. They're already here, and they're not going to turn and go back by themselves. So we're going to have to, if we put all this military equipment and all these guns down there, you're going to have to use them. Right. And then what is the rest of the world going to think of us then?
Well, they already think of us as a pansy now. I mean,
they think of us as a pansy that they're going to think a hell of a lot worse of us when we do that.
Well, the thing is that we got to protect our sovereignty, and if it gets to that point, it gets to that point. But the thing is that it's known worldwide, for example, you go to Mexico illegally, you will get arrested. They're just not going to do a catch and release program. You're going to jail. And Mexican prisons are not that great.
I don't believe that's the truth, because they'd have so many people in jail in Mexico that they wouldn't be able to handle them. They wouldn't be able to feed them. They wouldn't be able to do anything. The jails, they don't have that many jails to begin with, and they just, you know, they don't have the facilities to do that, as we don't.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that, I mean, we've already got cases of illegals that came over here that are complaining that they don't like the food, and it's a civil, that they, their civil rights have been violated, et cetera, et cetera. You know, if we're making it really nice and easy for them, but if they knew that they came over here, it, you know, we're not going to just catch you and release you and hope that you come back for your court date. You know, you're actually going to come in. We'll take an area. We'll corner it off. You know, we'll make, I don't want to say detention camps, but we have facilities for that. If we have to do that, let's do that. Let's treat it like what it is. It's an invasion. And let's get serious, because otherwise right now we're a laughingstock around the world. And that's why people like Foley are getting beheaded. And we have a president that's just laughing it off.
And I don't believe we do have the facilities to do anything with them. What do we got? I mean, we don't have the prisons to put them in. Every prison in the United States would be full of them by now. I mean, you're talking about thousands and thousands of people that are doing this.
I am. Okay, Joe Arpaio solved that problem in Arizona. He opened up camps, made them all wear pink underwear.
That hasn't solved anything.
No, but it makes it so that, you know, it makes it look...
All that does means it means that you're going to have to feed them. You're going to have to...
You're going to have to feed them.
You're going to have to buy that pink underwear for them to wear. I mean, this is costing us a huge amount of money, and it's money that we don't have.
We're not doing anything about it. Like I said, they're seeking out the border patrols, knowing that they're going to be... Yeah, so they're going to be in a temporary detention center until some... You know, until they get processed, then somebody comes, picks them up, you know, whoever. So-and-so, he's my distant relative, 45 times removed, and or I know him or whatever, and they release them to these people, or they put them on a bus, ship them to all these towns in the United States, and now the Department of Education is saying that, well, all of these kids have a right to go to our schools. Who's paying for that? Who's paying for their housing? You know, the communities are paying for their housing. The communities are paying for their lunches. The communities are, you know, and then these people, they get released into the communities, and now, I mean, it's a...
I think you're a bit mistaken there. I think the buses that they're getting on are taking them back where they came from.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
They're taking them to Arizona. They're taking them to parts of Texas. They're taking them to Utah.
They're in Arizona and Texas. That's where they're coming. That's where they're coming to.
Some of them are being shipped from Texas into Arizona. I mean, the governor down there has been complaining about, you know, hey, guys, you know, you're not even letting us know that you're shipping these people, and you're bringing it to us and dropping them off and releasing them in our cities, and now they're becoming our problem.
Well, I haven't heard that part of what's going on myself. I haven't seen that on TV. I haven't watched it. There's a lot of, the bit, like you say, people coming and picking them up and claiming them as theirs or as family members or something like that. And if they want to do that, then they're bearing the responsibility. But as far as I'm concerned, I've seen people put on buses and seen the buses aimed back south. And the thing is, that costs us money, too. It's getting a little bit tiresome to no matter what we do, we're the ones who lose.
Exactly. Well, that's a lot.
So what are we going to do to win?
Well, it comes to a point that, you know, we're just going to have to stand up and just say, hey, look, guys, you know, we're sorry that, you know, your country is not working out good for you. That's not our problem. The most we can do is offer you aid back home. But for you to come over here and expect to stay, no, we don't have
offered every one of them aid to go back home, and they don't want to go back home. And if you send them back, if you don't send them all the way back, if you're sending them all the way back to South America, then they're going to just come right back again. It doesn't make any difference. The thing is, they've been told or, and read or whatever in their own country that we're going to accept them.
Exactly, and that's the one thing that has to change. Just like our laws, for example, you know, right now, according to immigration laws, you come into this country illegally, it's a misdemeanor. If you are deported and you return, it's a felony. We have people that are coming back here four or five times and, you know, being deported four or five times, knowing that we're not going to do anything. And that's the point, is that when they come back, you know, we need to take that felony thing seriously and let them know that there will be consequences and they will be in.
But what are we going to do, shoot them?
No, we're not going to shoot them.
That's all we can do. Yeah, what we're doing is what we can do. I mean, what the hell? We're just going to have to shoot them indiscriminately as they come across the border.
Now, like you said, you take them, you ship them out, and if they come back, you know, you process them, you ship them out. If they come back, it's a felony. You are going to jail.
We don't have enough jails for that.
Then you
we'd have to build new jails. Everything is going to cost us money.
Then
we'd have to build new jails. We still have to feed them when they're in the jails. See, the thing is, a lot of them believe, and now they don't believe it, let's face it, to a lot of these people, living in one of our jails is better than living where they lived.
Well,
at least in the jails, you don't have somebody killing you. You don't have somebody shooting you. You don't have somebody beating you up. I mean, these people are coming from terrible situations, and there's anything that we do here in this country, it's going to be better because we watch them. Even in jail, we're going to watch out to see that they're not beat up all the time.
Right, but again, why does that become our problem? When are we going to stand up and say enough is enough? I mean, it's like
put them in our jails, they're our problem.
Well, yeah, if we put them in our jails, but
what else are we going to do to them?
I mean, there may become a point that we're just going to have to, like you say, I mean, we refuse to put it to really protect the border, but there's going to come a point that we're going to have to get serious. And
what's that mean?
Well, that means even if it comes to the point of, I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, to start treating it what it is. I mean, yeah, we're not going to shoot the kids, or like arguments I've had online with people that it's children. They're children. Yeah, they're children coming here by the thousands.
And what are we going to do about it? I mean, the only thing we can do about it is shoot them or send them back. Shooting them is going to be the cheapest way, of course. And sending them back is very expensive because we have to pay for it. We have to pay for the buses. We have to pay for the airplanes. We have to pay for whatever in order to send them back. And then they're just going to turn around and come back.
Well, that, like you said, it's an interesting problem. 646-721-9887 if you want to join in this conversation. And I'm going to get back a little.
See, before we leave this, I believe that there is a way. There is a way to handle this, and that's exactly what we're doing to the most part. A whole lot of these kids come over here, and there are people that are willing to take them in. And consequently, they can become working citizens. They can have something to do. They can get a job. They can be citizens of reason.
Okay.
I mean,
I got a suggestion for you. We have embassies all over the world, right?
Okay.
Okay. The best thing that we can do, if these people want to come in, is to go to these embassies and apply. Now, one thing that we can do, and I will agree in most part, is that we can streamline our process for citizenship or for work permits or for whatever to come through the front door. If we do that and have the requirements that these people have to go through and they have to have their medical and they have to have all that type of stuff, and under the same regulations that legal people do to come here, then that's fine. You know, that gives them an avenue. They don't have to cross the deserts, you know, have to travel hundreds of miles through the deserts and risk their lives and go to these embassies and apply. Okay, that's one thing. But when these people decide on their own to come in through the side door into our house, and we don't know who they are, we've already are seeing diseases that have been eradicated starting to reappear here. Anybody can come through the thing. We have no control over it. Then that's where it becomes a problem. But we can go through and streamline it. But the bottom line is we have a choice of who, how many, and if we want to allow anybody to come over here. In fact, there was a time in our history we shut the borders off completely.
No, no.
And that may be what...
No, no. No, you didn't. You can't. You can't shut the borders off.
Why?
Because there's no way you can do it. Unless you have 50 million people lined up one by one across the border, you're not going to be able to shut it off.
You just go over and play dead and say, fuck it. You know, the country is going to just turn over and start learning Spanish.
Well,
I mean,
it's not all Spanish.
If you roll over and play dead right now, like you're suggesting, then America's gone. What you know, your culture, you know, our culture in this country is going to be gone. It does not work.
It's got to work because they're going to be here come hell or high water. You know, and let's face it, we're not the only ones doing this. You know, we're not the only ones getting some of these people. There are other countries. What do I see? I can't remember the names of the countries, but some of these countries have had 60, 80,000 people that have come into their country, like it or not.
Yeah, and gone bankrupt. In fact, even Britain, I think it's Britain or the UK or whatever, has announced point blank, seriously, if you're in the country illegally, you are going to jail. You have so many days, or I forget what time limit they have, to get out. We're taking it seriously. We are not going to do...
What good does that do you? This business about going to jail, that's ridiculous. You can't send them to jail. You can, but all it's going to do is mean that you have to support them for the rest of your life or their life. So going to jail is not our answer.
Yeah.
And going to, whether it's here or whether it's in any other country, the fact is that the best bet is to do exactly what we're doing, send them to the other states and finding homes for them.
Oh,
that's what?
Bull.
No, bull.
No way.
Because at least we're not taking care of them.
I mean, put them on whatever those cargo planes are and, you know, make a trip once a month and just drop them off. I don't mean drop them literally, you know, from 10,000 feet. I mean, you know, you stick
well, it doesn't,
back and
it doesn't do anything for you. I mean, you've got to – there's more to it than that. We've got the cargo planes, yes, and it would be more than one cargo plane a month. It would be bunches of them.
Okay.
The thing is, what do you do with them when you get them there? You're just going to drop them off. They're going to just simply – they're accustomed to living on nothing, and they're going to do it, and they're going to turn right around and come back again. It's not going to stop them.
Yeah, except that every time they come back. And then we also need to enforce our laws, too, making it tougher on people that hire people that do not have the right to work here. But we don't.
Well, see, I think you're just totally wrong. Not only are you totally wrong, you're talking about people that are desperate. And when you're talking about people that are desperate, the whole picture changes. And we are talking about desperate people, people who have no other choice. I mean, they're going to die if they don't come here. And so if they're going to die, they may as well take a chance of coming here and not dying. Even if they do come here just to die, they haven't lost anything.
Okay.
There's no...
Then why can't we stick our nose into those countries that these people are fleeing from? I mean, we've done that before, claiming human rights violations and stuff like that, and go over there and set up or help the countries make it better for them, for their people, and make their countries accountable.
Boy, you want to talk about spending money. That's when you're really going to start spending money.
Well, it's either that or we're going to go bankrupt. That's the bottom line.
We're not going to go bankrupt.
We're already going bankrupt.
We aren't either.
Yeah, these people that are undereducated, you know, some of them have diseases. Some of them, you know, they immediately go on welfare. And like you say, we have to take care of them as soon as they...
What's your calling number? I'm calling in.
As soon as they...
That's why we want to send them to those other states and find somebody else to take care of them. I mean, that's the answer. You know, let them into the... We're going to let them into the country come hell or high water. Anyway, it doesn't make any difference, like it or not. They're going to be here. And what you do is you send them to some other state, and they send them to all kinds of states, anywhere where people would be willing to take them in and to support them or to help them out.
Okay, and it's just like the thing about cats. You know, you take in a cat, and next thing you know, you got two cats, and they have kittens, and now you got 20 cats. And
it's not quite the same.
How you figure?
Well, these are kids to begin with, most of them.
They're kids. It's the same thing as cats. You know, it's like kittens. Kittens have this thing about growing up, and then they become cats, and then they have more kittens. But we got a caller coming in, so I'm going to go to the phones. And welcome to the show.
You both are wrong. Both of you are wrong. Neither one of you get it at all. We have a poop head president. He doesn't give a crap. He's going to let anybody he wants into this country, and you guys can have all the cargo planes you want. You can drop them off in midair. He will catch them in a net and bring them back. He's here to destroy our country. He wants communism. He wants socialism. And I hope to God, by the time he's out of presidency, he has not ruined our country. And there is nothing we can do about it, so get over it. Find another subject, something that somebody wants to hear about. You have went on and on for months, weeks, years. I've listened to this. It's over. Our president does not care. If he cared, when the guy was beheaded, he would have done something other than said, oh, here I am, going on vacation, living my life, doing what I want to do. That man does not care. He wanted to ruin our country, and he is ruining our country. Look at it. Seriously, look at it. And until we rise up and do something about it, we are screwed. And that's just how it is. And we will live with what he wants. And until that changes, nothing will change. And pray to God that we get somebody in our next presidency that can turn it around, or at least try. Because he has so much deteriorated our country at this point that it will never change. And that is all
that's
I have
it.
To say. Goodbye.
That's interesting. Thank you. That is interesting to take that point of view of it, because you're right. But I'm hoping that we have enough time in the 2 years that we have to go with him still being here. That I mean, we could our Congress could do something about it. I would think. I can't imagine that he has that much influence over anybody to make us all just let it happen.
He's the damn president. I mean, just like with the beheading, you know, right now Congress is on vacation, on recess. You know, they could be called back into session. He could have at least like they kept saying, the White House is not that far away. He could at least have gone to the White House, had coffee or done something, at least looked like he was doing something important, instead of going back to the White House. In fact, let's see, who is this? International Business Times, I'll give them credit for this story, and their opinion is, I'm quoting here, I'm sorry, Mr. President, but your behavior Wednesday was nothing but thumbing your nose or simply ignoring those who refuse to acknowledge that you have a right to a vacation and to some time playing a game that relaxes you. It's also not about those who refuse to appreciate that you can do your job anywhere on the planet with the same effectiveness as sitting behind your desk at the White House. A liberal white Unger, I probably mispronounced his name, Unger, a liberal contributor to Forbes magazine, wrote, it was instead a revealing sight of yourself that Americans of all political stripes cannot help but be troubled by a coldness that revealed a complete lack of understanding of the classy thing to do at the moment. So basically, it's a lot of it is just perception, you know.
We're going to get tough on these people.
Okay. Did they mention what the classy thing is supposed to be?
Well, like I said,
they got all this criticism, but nobody has any answers.
Well, like I said,
they didn't mention one answer, or even handed an answer. They just said he did it wrong.
Well, like he says here, continuing in the story, he says, argued that instead of golf, Obama could have been at the side of Foley's family in New Hampshire. Only 150, that's Dane. Automatic updates, I hate them. Now I got to find where I left off on the thing. This is one of those websites that keep refreshing the screens automatically. Anyway, it says that he's only 150-mile helicopter ride from Martha's Vineyard, but Unger also acknowledged that the decision may have led to another criticism, that Obama would have been playing politics and using the Foley family for a photo op.
Well, and I think that's probably what would happen, too. The thing is, he doesn't have an answer. He doesn't know the answer. Neither does anyone who wants to write stories about it know the answer. And just going to their family and being at their side while this happened isn't accomplishing a thing. It isn't even, I don't think, looking generous or anything else. It's just looking stupid. It's just nobody has the answer. Nobody's come up with an answer. And until we come up with some sort of an answer, we're not going to get anywhere. And I know what my answer would be, and my answer is not what I don't want to say it because people are not going to like me.
No, go ahead and say it. Because like you said, they don't know what the answer is. So what is your suggestion? What is the answer?
Shoot them.
Shoot who?
Anybody who comes into this country that's not supposed to.
Okay.
That's just simple. We're going to get around to that sooner or later. We're not. You know, putting them in jail is not going to accomplish a thing.
You just argued. You just spent 20 minutes arguing that we can't shoot them. We have to take them. And then again, we have we have these beheadings.
I argued we can't shoot them because nobody's going to like that. Nobody's going to like the answer that I have. But and I would just as soon not put it out there. So, but the thing is, you know, since I've said it now, we're not going to get anywhere by just, you know, I'm sorry you can't be here. I'm sorry you can't come into this country. I'm sorry you can't do this. You can't do that. It's not going to make a difference. We can make any laws we want to. They don't listen to our laws. They don't live by our laws, and they don't care about our laws.
But they're children, Seth.
That's why we should just do with them.
You can't shoot the kids, Cliff.
We should do what we're doing with them. We should send them someplace and give them a place to live. That's going to cost us less in the long run. And if we have to shoot them, we're going to have to bury them. We're going to have to find a place to put them. And it's, you know, that's what we're doing now is the least expensive thing to do and the most humane thing to do.
Okay, so they have an estimate of 150,000 kids coming into the country every year, which is already the size of Eugene, Oregon. And if that number continues to grow every year, what are you supposed to do? Pretty soon you're going to have the size of the state and we're just...
Well, this is not going to happen forever.
How do you know?
It's just not going to happen forever. This is new. It's not something that's been happening. This is new. And so consequently, it's not going to happen forever. It's going to end. The people that didn't have any place to go are going to all be here by then.
Yeah, and Obama announces amnesty in September, and... You know, we might.
This business of announcing amnesty, he should be shot if he's not announcing amnesty. We did that once before, and it cost us a huge amount of money. We had one president that should have been shot because he announced it. We've got to get off of that bit.
And, of course, you're using shot figuratively because I don't want you arrested. But anyways.
I'm not too sure if I am or not.
But the point is that we have a president that doesn't care. And his reaction, I'm going to go back to the beheading, you know, what does it tell the world? How does it look to the world? We already have weak borders. We're a laughingstock overseas already. You know, we got people that are...
I don't believe we're a laughingstock overseas because they have the same problems. That's not something new.
What other citizens are being beheaded right now?
Oh, I don't know about being beheaded.
Okay, I take that back. Because ISIS is beheading children and stuff like that overseas. And right now they're playing the political game. Just like back in the Carter years, when they had all those hostages and we were doing this hostage crisis. Remember, you know, 365 days of hostage crisis. And we negotiated, and these terrorists, they made a mistake of they captured four Russian citizens and tried to play the same game with Russia. Russia is one you don't want to – they have a reputation.
So what did they do about it?
Russia went ahead and tried to negotiate, first of all, tried to be nice, and then the terrorists went ahead and killed one of the hostages. So at that point, Russia decided, okay, excuse me, we're not going to play this game, so they turned it over to the KGB. Hang on a sec. Hairball. And, hey, at least I muted the mic. So they turned it over to the KGB. The KGB found out who they were, and they found out who their relatives were, and they went ahead and kidnapped one of their leaders and castrated him and sent the parts over to the leader that's holding these remaining captives, and went ahead and Russia killed their captive. And they said, okay, we know who your relatives are now. You know, so far we're one for one. We know who your relatives are now. You are to release these captives, these hostages, immediately, unharmed, or we're going after your relatives. The next day, those three hostages, although they were, hungry or whatever, they were not harmed. They were released because Russia didn't play pansy. They didn't play paper tiger. They said, okay, we tried. You're not being reasonable. Then we're going to do the same to you. I mean, it's cruel, but then again, who screws around with Russia?
Well, they were a different Russia than they are today. And
they're becoming back like the same Russia. I mean, Russia's moving. The military is gaining. Putin is, on the move. And, even with that, even though, yes, Russia, the USSR, USSR is not there anymore or per se. But even still, when Russia moves, we watch them.
Well, I
they take Russia seriously.
I think they take America seriously too, for that matter. And we don't know what's being done. And, all we know is the president's playing golf. We don't know what's happening. He just because he's playing golf doesn't mean he isn't completely aware of the problem and aware of what's happening. And like I say, he can be playing golf and people can still be updating him on every single thing that's taking place. He's not going to make the decision to do what to do. He's not going to have the answers because this president is not one who does that. He's not smart enough to do that. And I'm not saying he's stupid or anything else, although he is fairly. But the thing is, he doesn't have the ability to do that sort of thing. I do believe he does have people around him that are. And we don't know what they're doing. And so consequently, we can't be thoroughly understanding of what's taking place because we just don't know what's taking place.
Care.
What?
He doesn't care. He lives a life of royalty. He likes this little superstar thing, like Benghazi, for example. When the embassy was attacked, and he was warned that the embassy was under a terrorist attack, but yet they blamed it on somebody's video, when it actually was more than that. But yet the White House went ahead and they sent Condoleezza Rice and them out. Oh, it was the video that upset people. No, it wasn't. But what did he do? He was notified. He went back to bed, and then he got up and went on another fundraiser. They don't care. They still haven't done investigations on what really happened, what really went on. But people died because of his inaction.
Well, there's an awful lot of people dying that we are not hearing about in here and everywhere. The beheading of one person, that was nothing, I'm sure, as to what's going on and what's taking place. I agree with this lady now to a certain extent that we should stop talking about this because we don't know what's going on. And I absolutely guarantee you there's more to what's going on than what we're hearing in the news and what we're hearing on the computer. It's a lot more than that. And I'm sure that our country is not sitting back and just accepting all of this. And as far as waiting until we get a new president, that's 2 years from now.
Yeah.
And that's our country is not going to go to hell in a handbasket in 2 years. It's going to take a little longer than that.
Well, the sad thing about it is that from the president to the Congress, to the House, is that we're not acting. We're like Pelosi and Harry Reid and them. They're more concerned about their own little private agendas than they are actually about the health of the country. So, like everything that they keep. Okay, calm down, Robin. Like you're saying, what are we going to do about it? What are they going to do about it? Like we hear constantly, the president is violating the Constitution. Okay, how is he able to violate the Constitution without consequences? How is he able, like Obamacare, for example, to get the IRS to enforce a tax which was originally a fine or a penalty, but the Supreme Court changed it from a fine to a tax when only Congress can enact a tax? So in a sense, it's an illegal procedure, but yet we're enforcing it.
Well, then who's to blame there?
we are.
Right.
We're not holding our representatives to the fire.
Right.
That's
the thing is we're electing the wrong representatives. We're electing the wrong people. We're not putting the right people in there, and that's our fault.
Yes, you're exactly right. We're not holding our representatives to the, you know, feet to the fire. On the same token, and this gets a little old too. We got this thing going on in Ferguson, and we're sending the attorney general down, and we're doing it. Now we're investigating our questioning that is police using military style assault equipment, you know, too offensive. Well, the only reason why it's even brought up now is because they're throwing the race card out because they say this 300-pound guy, of course, we don't know what happened between the time that the officer was contacted to the time that the kid took his gun, but because it has something to do with race, all of a sudden this case becomes headline news, and the, like I say, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, all those glorifiers for fame get out there and grandstanders for their 15 minutes of fame.
You need to get a television. You need to start watching television because Al Sharpton and all the rest of these guys have already been put down. Everybody on TV and everybody who's talked about this for the last 3 days have already said and already put into the record that they are not doing anything except trying to raise their own opinion of themselves.
Exactly.
Nobody is accepting them as an answer to anything. Nobody is accepting their word for anything. They're just nothing now, because they have just gone and made a pain in the butt of themselves, and everybody is recognizing that fact. Nobody's listening to them. Nobody's doing anything that they're expecting to do. They're not drawing big crowds anymore. I mean, it's just a bunch of malarkey. The thing in Ferguson is over. I mean, last night there was only about 20 people there, and actually there were about 50 people there or 60 people there, and almost three-quarters of them were media. They were not there to demonstrate at all. And so it's over. It's done with, because people get tired of it. They have this big thing. They do a big demonstration for a while, but it gets tiresome, and they have other things to do, and they have their lives to live, and they have jobs to go to, and they can't spend their life going down to Ferguson and screaming and hauling and yelling. So consequently, it's just not going to last very long. It's over. And it is completely over by now. I according to the television that I was watching earlier today before I went to sleep, it's simply no one is there. The only people that are there are media people, and they're just there, actually reporting on themselves at this point, and doing nothing. So it's not going to help be a big thing at all, and. I don't believe that in the overall finesse of things that we're even going to remember it after a very short period of time. So, but the thing is, that's you know, I think there are things going on in the background. I don't know for sure, but I think there are things going on in the background that we don't know what's happening, and we don't dare, you know, we're not supposed to know. They're not going to give us the entire story because that lets the enemy, shall we say, and know their strategy, and they can't do that. So we're never going to find out that. So until it's over and done with, and then we're not going to care.
Yeah, well, this is another case, too, that, like I said, they're sending the attorney general down up to the Ferguson.
He's already been there. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's been there. How many, I mean, unfortunately, there are cop shootings throughout the U.S. And it's just like the Trayvon Martin case, you know, which was, again, just something that would have been a local issue until Obama stuck his nose in it. And now we're sending the attorney general, the highest-ranking enforcement.
Again, you're right on target with Obama stuck his nose in it. This is just Obama sticking his nose in it again.
Yeah, grandstanding is basically all it is. They're trying to keep the race baiting alive, and I think you're right in some respects. People are getting tired of it. They're waking up and going, everything that happens, well, you must be racist.
Well, I don't think this thing in Ferguson was racist.
I don't think it is easy.
I did anyway.
But it's easy to point that finger. Because everything, you know, you disagree with me, you must be racist. You know, and that's
I think that's going by the boards real fast. You know, I don't think the race thing is very big a big thing at all. People have been trying to say something about it, try to bring it up. They're just trying to stir up things, and they're not getting anywhere.
Yeah. Well, just like I was listening to a clip this morning from one of the spokespeople for the Obama administration, Maria, whatever her name is, and she was, oh, I take that back, it's somebody up there in D.C., and they were talking about the Ferguson thing, and they were stumbling for their words, but finished off by saying, and the situation was based on race. And she tried to, you could tell that they were trying to throw out keywords and stuff. And the response of the people that called into the show in response to that was the same thing, just like, we're tired of hearing it. Everything's not race. You know, a lot of people feel that that all this administration has done was made race relations worse because they tried to feed the fire where they're really, in a lot of cases, I'm not saying it's totally eradicated, but in a lot of cases there wasn't any fire.
Well, the fire they're trying to feed is because he's black.
Right.
And that's not going anywhere either. People on television are talking about that. It's the only thing that ever was mentioned about race is because of the fact that people are trying to say that it's race-related because we have a black president. Well, you know, it's not a matter of a black president. That's not the problem. The thing is, this thing is not really anything to do with race. It has to do with, you know, yeah, you were talking about this farmer that these guys came to his rescue, so to speak,
right,
and did the thing there. That was ridiculous because, you know, the thing is, we had, let's face it, this is a big country, and we had like 12 people out there all together, and that isn't even a minuscule amount. That isn't even a one hundredth of a percent of, I don't know what it would be, of our population that was going along with him there. And there were a lot more than that, because what happens is our media tends to push things way to the far ends of the earth. Our media is trying to stir things up all the time. And even if they aren't trying to stir things up, they're reporting things that are going to stir things up, and they don't want to stop doing it. That the media is going to do whatever they have to do to have something to put on the air, and consequently, sometimes it's not legitimate, and a lot of times this whole thing about something put on the air is just stupid, and this is one of the instances. We've had two or three instances lately where the whole thing was media stirred up, I believe, not done by anybody in particular. I mean, it's a lot of the times just the media showing what's going on. And as far as this thing in Ferguson is concerned, we had something started there. Something did get underway. But the only thing that kept it going was the media. So if we can get the media out of this thing, and we're not going to, they've got to have something to do.
Are we back to having real investigative reporters like we used to have? And
no, we're not going to do that because they're gone.
They're gone. Well, let me ask you this question in the 5 minutes we have remaining here, and there's still time for people to give us a call, 646-721-9887. Going back to the top story we're talking about, which is the beheading, you know, I feel that it was a bad PR move, if you want to call it that, for Obama just to go back and play golf and laugh and giggle and do whatever and just not make it serious. You disagree. How do you think that the damn it, Shana, from Point Counterpoint. how do you think the president really should have responded to this situation and to after, and how the U.S. should react to it?
Well, I don't think the U.S. should react to it, because I don't believe it was done. It was only done to create a story, to create... problems with the people that are listening. That was not done. I don't think it was real. I mean, I think it really happened. I'll go along with that. But that was one person. They've got more than that in that country that they can behead later on, and they haven't done that. They just wanted to create a problem in the United States, and they did create quite a stir. But it all went way too far, farther than it was supposed to, and we've got to stop doing that. We've got to stop letting one person or one people, one country, not even just one country, but it's one group of people in that country. I don't think there's any country that was wholeheartedly hollering to have the man beheaded. It was just a small group of people, and we're letting them run our media and running our country because of that. And so I believe the president did exactly the right thing. He shouldn't have made a big thing out of it, and he didn't make a big thing out of it. He should be prepared because if it does grow and if it doesn't continue on and becomes important to us, then we should do something about it. But it's not something that he should have done about. It's a single incident, and he shouldn't be too concerned about it. And I know it's terrible. It's terrible to think that somebody got their head cut off, and it's a horrible thing. But he can't go jumping around and raising hell every time somebody gets their head cut off or every time somebody takes a wrong turn on the freeway and gets put in jail in the wrong country. You just can't do that. You've got to let it go. Commenting on it, fine. Let people know that you know about it, but just don't make a big thing about it.
Okay, so what happens on the next beheading?
Oh, if there is a next beheading, and if it's the same country and the same group of people, I mean, we don't know what he did. We don't know that he didn't just ignore it entirely. We don't know that he didn't send somebody over there or send troops over there or something. We just don't know about that, and we shouldn't know about that. Because if we do know about that, then we're tipping our ideas off to the other countries. We can't know what's being done about that. And so, consequently, I think he just do what he did again. Now, if it happens a lot of times, then we've got a war on our hands.
Yeah, but in the last minute left, do you really think this president has, like you say, he's not smart enough? Do you think that he has the intelligence to actually run a real conflict?
I don't think he does, but there are people in his offices who do. There are people who are there who know what's going on, who know what to do, and I believe they're doing it. I don't believe that he's acting alone on anything. I mean, I believe he is aware that he doesn't have the intelligence or the capability of doing some of this stuff. He just has to go and help, let other people be involved. That we, 2 years is not a very long time. It sounds like a long time, but it's not a very long time. And we're going to see other people running for office before long, and they're going to be making all kinds of suggestions and all kinds of ideas, and it's good to wait and listen to those. I mean, it's just not something that we should be just running headlong into and doing.
And speaking of running headlong into, check us out again.
If you like today's show, please let us know by visiting us on Facebook and clicking on the Like button. You can also get show updates on Twitter and on our website at www.krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.